welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. I'd like to begin by reading a passage of Scripture found in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That is a powerful statement from the Word of God. And I don't know about you, there's times that really it touches a sore point, because I think all of us have had difficulties with ruling our spirit, Some especially have a difficult time controlling anger. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's a good scripture to stand on. And we show our maturity by being slow to speak. The Proverbs is filled with exhortation to controlling our anger, not expressing our anger. A soft, gentle answer turns away wrath. And so what I'd like to do, as I felt led of the Lord, is to talk about something which the fruit of the Spirit expresses as temperance. And as we look at temperance, and as we look at the fruit of the Spirit that is expressed in the fifth chapter of Galatians, it talks about faithfulness and meekness and temperance. And those last three fruit of the Spirit that are described, in fact, why don't I just turn and read it to you in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Praise God. And so what can we say? Those last three, if you really look at them, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, they're all directed at and are an integral part of maturity, which implies our ability to rule and the spiritual power that we have before the Lord. You know, Revelation says that Jesus has made us kings and priests unto our God. And in order to be a king and a priest, there's a level of authority. There's a level of spiritual power as well as rulership. We don't know all that we'll be doing in the ages to come, but beloved, rulership starts in this life. And it starts with us. It starts with you. It starts with me. From the reference in Proverbs and from the Greek word that is used for temperance, we discovered that there are two ideas that are included with this whole concept of temperance, and they are internal as well as external. So we might say that temperance has two aspects. One, there's the inner part, the mastery of the inner self. And secondly, there's the outer or mastery of the bodily or sensual desires. Now, let's start at the beginning. When we're born again, we then have two natures. We become spiritually alive. Before that, we were dead. We were just dead in trespasses and sin. Our nature was totally carnal. But when we come to the Lord and we are born again, that innate trait of the Holy Spirit of temperance will be needed for yieldedness to the new nature that we've been given. When we become a new creature in Jesus, and we partake of God's divine nature, we find that the power of the law of the Spirit of life sets us free to rise above the sinful or the carnal nature. John tells us in his epistles that if we say that we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. He's talking about that sin nature. And beloved, in this life, as long as we live, we will have a tendency to gravitate toward that sin nature in our flesh. However, God, through the Word, has shown us the way to be free from that the bondage of that sin nature, where we're really a slave to sin. We're no longer servants to sin. God shows us the way to be free from it. And how do we do that? It's by walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, what does the Scripture tell us? We will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Why? Because of the Spirit's nature in us is called to temperance and moderation. Before we were born again, well, we only had the sin nature. But now we have the new nature, which is stronger than the sin nature. But it's stronger only when we yield ourselves to it, and temperance is the key. That's why I just felt it's important, as much of my time on this broadcast is directed toward us growing in godliness and in righteousness and in the ways of the Lord. This is something we don't hear preached out very much, but it's an important part and relates in a very pertinent way to our everyday life. Now, let's look at some considerations regarding this fruit of the Spirit, this temperance. And first of all, it's important for leadership. Well, you might say, well, Sister Glass, I'm not called to leadership. Well, you might not be in terms of the fivefold ministry. You might not call to be a pastor or a teacher or apostle or prophet or evangelist. However, you are, just by the very fact you're a Christian, you are a leader in your circle of influence with your family, with your friends, on your work situation, in your neighborhood. You are a leader simply because you know the truth. You're a city set on a hill. You know where you're going. You know how everything is going to end when time is no more. And so all those around you who are not saved don't have a clue of what's going on. Of course you're a leader. Let me share another scripture found in Titus, the first chapter, verse 8. This is modern language. Verse 7 says, "For the bishop," this is now, of course, referring to someone actually set in leadership in the church body, "must, as God's steward, be irreproachable, not self-willed or hot-tempered or a drunkard or pugnacious," that's willing to fight, "or greedy for dishonest gain. Instead, he must be hospitable, in love with what is good, self-controlled." That's how the modern language translates temperate. Self-controlled, fair, of holy life, disciplined. A pastor, beloved, is called upon by God to live a life of balance and obedience, which is to be an example to the flock of God. And this also applies to other positions of leadership in the church. Leaders must set the example of dying to self to let Christ shine through. That's why it's so grievous and it's so heartbreaking when we have seen leaders over the years fall because of the damage that it's done to the sheep. They are those that should be looked up to as examples. And so it's especially grievous when a leader falls. Now, as far as the ordinary, everyday Christian, although there's no such thing as an ordinary Christian, temperance really is a reasonable approach to life. It tells us that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. Isn't that right? And if we do that, the example of our lives will bring conviction upon the non-Christian. We see this dynamic occurring in Acts, the 24th chapter, at verse 25, we find that Paul is reasoning with Felix, who begins to tremble with conviction. Paul reasoned about righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Beloved, our faith is reasonable. Temperance is reasonable. One only has to look at the many sorrows caused in the world by intemperance and selfishness. No wonder there's so much heartache and suffering and sorrow, because people are not willing to do anything to curb their own desires and what they want when they want it. For most people, our natural sensual desires are strong, and they must be surrendered to the Lord. Mastery through the Holy Spirit is a reality, beloved. It's not an impossibility. God wouldn't ask that of us if it was impossible for us to achieve. All of our natural drives, even regardless of what they are, even when we exercise them lawfully and rightfully, they do still come under the injunction, let all things be done in moderation. So, beloved, it's important that we, because of the divine destiny that we have before us, not only in this life, but we don't know all that the Lord has ahead. He's grooming us as kings and priests. He's training us how to be like Jesus. And Jesus was our perfect example. This fruit of the Spirit that's listed in Galatians is an example of the very character and personality of Jesus Christ. And we're called to walk in that same kind of authority. But again, remember that scripture that I shared with you as I began this subject, Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, some strong, powerful warrior. Someone that's slow to anger is actually better than someone that's got physical strength. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. What an amazing concept. Someone who can actually besiege a city. We see that happening in the world today in the Middle East. I'm telling you, but he that rules the spirit is better than he that has the brute militaristic force to take a city. That's saying something. And beloved, I believe that's what you aspire to. Lord, we're just asking you to enlarge our hearts and minds to understand what it is that you're requiring of us, each in our individual lives. For each it may be different. But Lord, you want us to walk in temperance and in moderation. So grant us your revelation, Lord, that we may walk pleasing to you and walk in the Spirit at all times, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, there's much more to share with you. We're going to look at examples of temperance from Scripture tomorrow, and how we can master ourselves and how it will prepare us for kingdom rulership. I invite you to join me. The announcer will give you our contact information. Thank you for your prayer support and your financial help. I love you. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,